Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
In the house.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. You're going to like this one. We're going to highlight the stupid because there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And then we're going to get to Jason Grimsley. This is actually, it's baseball season. I love baseball season. And this is an inspirational story. He's from a two-time World Series champion. He came out with a book. We aired this back in 2023, but you know what? The principles, the story, the success, and the overcoming really hard, difficult things, I think you're going to be fascinated. If you like being inspired by good people who do hard, difficult things and overcome and achieve amazing things, you're going to love this story because it's a journey of faith and recovery. And if you don't know the story of Jason Grimsley, even if you're a baseball fan, I bet you know who he is. If you're not a baseball fan, I still think you're going to be inspired by this guy. It's one of the better interviews we had. He has a book that's out, One Man's Journey from Ruin to Restoration. It's called Cross Stitched, you know, how they make the baseballs. One Man's Journey from Ruin to Restoration. It's really, really neat story about him, and it's fun. Put a smile on your face, but it also will inspire you. So, Jason Grimsley, we're going to have that for you because it was really a good one. All right, time to bring on the stupid because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, we're starting here with a new wearable device. This is, of course, it's on the internet and it's on Instagram, so it has to be true. This is a pet phone. And what it allows somebody to do is it uses artificial intelligence and somehow, some way, AI allows the pets, they don't even necessarily have to be living pets, like a cat or a dog. It can be a doll. That's why I get into the stupid. They call their owners. So, look, a pet is part of the family. I get it. The relationship with your pet, no matter what it is a special and unique one. But the idea that your pet is going to call you on the phone, it's just a little bit of a bridge too far to me to get to just a little bit of stupid. All right, number two, this is a very visual one, but I want you to picture this. This is actually, again, Instagram. I spend far too much time on reels and whatnot. This one, you have to see it, but picture this. Chinese man has a passport. It is in Chinese. But somehow, one of his kids got a hold of it and decided that on the page with your picture and your key information, like your name, your birth date, your nationality, I can't even necessarily read what it is, but I have a passport. They have similar passports. We all know what passports look like. Well, the little kid decided to take dad's face and scribble all over it, make it, you know, put a mustache on it, redo his lips, color in his eyes, do something to his eyebrows, fix his hair, make his ears bigger, and then draw another picture of somebody on the other side of the page, scribble all over it, to the point that This poor guy got stuck at an airport because when he pulled it out, evidently to use it, whoever was checking the identification was saying, we can't read this, sir. You're going to have to find it. How do you do that? How would you, if you're in the middle of a trip, you're at an airport, and you got to suddenly get another passport, that ain't going to happen really fast. I feel for this guy. Poor guy. All right, now we're going to the most serious one. Here's the headline. Fox 5 in Washington, D.C. I think I've seen this guy before. Not totally sure, but I'm pretty sure. Here's the headline. A professional cornhole player, right? You picture cornhole, right? Got two boards on either side with a hole, and you throw the beanbag over and try to get it in the hole. Anyway, a professional cornhole player with no arms and legs has been accused of murder in Charles County. Now, this is a serious case. I shouldn't laugh and smile, but somehow I think this guy, the allegation was that he was driving his car. Other passengers involved, some get out, but there's a shooting. And the allegation is that this guy who has no legs and no arms. Now, when I say no arms, he really has no hands because he has an arm down to just past his elbows. He's been like that essentially since birth. But there is previous video, at least the allegation, at least it looks like it, of him shooting a 9mm gun before. Well, the allegation is that now he's been accused of murder in Charles County. Pretty serious, but just because he have no legs, no arms, doesn't mean you can't be engaged in the stupid and shooting somebody. Yay, yay, yay. It's too bad because there's somebody who lost their life there.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Selling your house the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees. It's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash? Fast. At Liz Buys Houses, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. We understand that facing difficult situations like lifestyle changes requires support. So whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. With Liz Buys Houses, you close on your schedule in as little as 7 days. Selling your house can feel overwhelming, but we're here to simplify the process and to give you peace of mind at every stage. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Liz Buys Houses. Real cash, real fast. For your free, no-obligation cash offer, text CASH to 303030. Again, text CASH to 303030. Text CASH to 303030.
Furnished by Sell My House Fast. Liz Buys Houses does not guarantee transaction results. See LizBuysHouses.net for terms. Text and data rates apply.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Democratic nominee and 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, addressed the Democratic Convention in 1992 at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Let it be our cause that we give this child a country that is coming together, not coming apart. A country of boundless hopes and endless dreams. A country that once again lifts its people and inspires the world. Let that be our cause, our commitment, and our new covenant. My fellow Americans,
I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
It turns out the happiest place on earth is not Disney World, but Finland. According to the recently released World Happiness Report from Oxford University and Gallup, the Northern European nation ranked highest overall. The survey's authors say Nordic countries ranked in the top 10 because they used their oil wealth to create welfare states that protect people from economic risk, leaving more time for social activities. One resident, Rosa Arnold, says it's about being optimistic.
I think you just have to be hopeful and positive.
Well, what does God say about being happy? How does God measure our happiness? Turns out, nowhere in the Bible does God promise us happiness. That's an emotion dependent on our situation, which usually fluctuates from day to day or moment by moment. God's directive is to be holy. Because we are made in His image, holiness brings a joy and contentment independent of any of life's ups and downs. To find out more, go to foxnews.com. For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. A new study shows more people with a high school diploma or less education are dying from medically preventable causes compared to those with at least a college degree. Researchers say those who were less educated see doctors less often, even if they have chronic illnesses that put them at a greater risk of death. The study analyzing more than 476,000 Americans from 1996 to 2022, finding that those without a college degree had a 144% greater rate of medically preventable death. That's up from a 71% gap in preventable deaths in 2001. Cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and to the Affordable Care Act could make those numbers grow. A lead researcher says it's always been a belief that inequalities in housing, nutrition, and exposure to hazards underlie the high death rates of less privileged Americans. The study was reported in the American Journal of Public Health. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Jason in the house. Time to move on because, you know what? We got a special guest today. His name is Jason Grimsley. And he's the World Series champion. You've seen him. He's you'll hear when we talk to him. I don't want to give away too much of the story. But he's got some great stories from his time as the New York Yankee. He was a pitcher. And he's really got an amazing story. He's got a new book that came out in 2023, Cross Stitched, One Man's Journey from Ruin to Restoration. Let's bring in Jason Grimsley. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. You know, I've never chatted with you before. You've got a great new book out, though. Cross Stitched, One Man's Journey from Ruin to Restoration. And so congratulations on doing that, right? I've written a few books myself. They're hard to do.
Oh yeah, it was difficult. The hardest part was going through it. You know, my wife and I worked together on it, and you know, reliving some of my failures or extreme failures in my past. And it was hard on me. It was hard on her. Is the thing I like about the book is that they interview my wife and my three kids, Hunter, John, and Rain, and it's actually in the book. You know, what they were thinking, how they felt while this was going on, and it was great to listen to what they had to say, but at the same time, it was painful watching them relive it.
Yeah, there's something very therapeutic, I think, for going through that. You know, my theory is I get older in life. My theory here is that everybody goes through stuff. They go through really hard times, and some of them may be an addiction. It may be an accident, maybe financial troubles. It may be, you know, mental health issues. It could be just about anything, but nobody's skirting through life here without doing some hard things come upon them. Go back for us, Jason. Tell us a little bit about growing up, where you were, what life was like. Do you have brothers, sisters? What were your parents like? But start with kind of I was born in, and then go from there.
Yeah, I was born in Cleveland, Texas, on August 7, 1967. And we actually lived about 6-7 miles out of Cleveland on Tarkington Prairie. So I grew up out in the woods on a farm. I grew up around horses, cows, I didn't know rapport. I had no idea. But that being said, there was never a doubt in my life that I was not loved. Mom, Dad, no Dad. Dad was ex-military, made his own way. He's a welder. Ended up doing extremely well for himself later in life. But, you know, those early years, you know, we rented houses. We moved around. And then my grandmother and my grandfather gave my mom and dad about an acre and a half of land, and they built the first home on it. And I think they paid $32,000 for the first home.
Wow.
Our first home. And they're still living in it. And
that's great.
You know, we had my grandmother and my grandfather. We had two sets of aunts and uncles that lived within 400 or 500 yards of us. We had about 20 acres that we farmed and did different things like that. And
what were you farming?
Where I grew up, or how I grew up with anybody. Yeah, we had corn, potatoes, butter beans, dinner peas, okra, watermelon.
Well, my guess is you learned to work at a pretty young age, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one thing. That daughter says, son, nobody's going to give you anything. You got to go out and get it.
Do you have brothers, sisters?
Yeah, I got one younger brother. Yep. And he was my dad's shadow. All he wanted to do was weld. Heck, I think my brother could have passed inspection or x-ray when he was 12 years old.
Right.
That's all my brother's ever wanted to do. That's all he's ever done. He absolutely loves it. You know, made a good work.
You're working the farm. You got, sounds like, a solid family. Not a lot of resources necessarily. You weren't living high on that hog. So you must have played some sports, right?
I did. I fell in love with baseball when I was probably 5, 6 years old. And I think you were supposed to be 8 before you could play. Well, that sort of fibbed on my birth certificate so I could play a year earlier. And he was actually my first coach.
Yeah.
And our uniform was blue jeans, whatever shoes you had, and a maroon T-shirt with white letters ironed on it for Pay Stancil Funeral Home.
Hey, that's just all American right there. You're in the heart of Texas with an ironed on jersey for the local funeral home. That's awesome. I mean, I read, what are you, 6'3"?
6'3", yes, sir.
So were you pretty tall as a young kid? I mean, were you passing the – well, he kind of looks like he's 8 years old. I mean, even though he's 7. What? How? Were you always tall, big guy?
No, not at all. My first driver's license I got when I was 15. I got a hardship license because my uncle was a truant officer in Liberty County. And mom and dad both worked, so I was able to drive at 15. On my first driver's license, I was 5'4", weighed 120 pounds.
Pretty ominous figure there. All right, so you're playing baseball. Were you always the pitcher? Were you like, hey, I know how to throw the ball from here to there?
I would pitch, I'd catch, I'd play shortstop. But mostly when I was younger, I'd pitcher, catcher. Nobody else could catch, so I'd catch. But I became more of a pitcher, shortstop. I quit catching probably when I was a freshman in high school. I was the first freshman to make varsity, and I was 14 years old as a freshman. Actually, I was 13 years old as a freshman. I hadn't turned 14 yet. I didn't turn 14 until August. And so as a 13-year-old, I was playing against seniors in high school, and I played third base, and I think I hit 8. And, that made a lot of people not very happy, the guys that were older than me, and even my classmates, the guys that I grew up with. You know, they were all playing JV, and here I am playing varsity. But, you know, I knew something was up when I turned about 10 years old. Nobody on the team would play catch with me. At 13, my dad stopped playing catch with me. He said, son, you're going to hurt me. I can't see it. And then my sophomore year, at 5'6", about 130 pounds, I was our number one pitcher.
That's amazing. How big was your high school?
Little 3A school. I think I had 60 people in my graduating class.
Yeah. So this wasn't like 2,500 people, but still.
No. You're throwing not 2,500 people on target for everything.
You're throwing the ball hard and fast and accurately at a pretty young age. Where did that come from? Did you have like a mentor that said, hey, look, this is how you hold it. This is how you throw a knuckleball. This is how, I mean, how do you, curveball? Where'd you learn all that?
Well, dad taught me to throw a baseball, and then, believe it or not, obviously we're right here in Texas, and Nolan Ryan was my hero growing up. I think I had a VHS tape with him on it, and there was no slow motion, so I would just watch him and pause it, and I'd just imitate him.
You know, it's funny. It reminds me, actually, of what Tony Finau did. You know, Tony Finau, the golfer, he watched those old VHS tapes of Jack Nicklaus. And he didn't know how to golf, but his dad went to the local library, rented rented these VHS tapes, and his kids just watched it, and then they figured out how to swing a club from there. And so you're just watching Nolan Ryan on a VHS tape with no slow-mo. And then, so what happened? I mean, those scouts, they're pretty savvy. They get after those kids early. Walk us through the journey and tell us the story of what happened and what went wrong along the way.
Well, my junior year, start of the year out, I'd grown a little bit more. I think I was five. I think between my sophomore and my junior year, I grew 4 inches.
Wow.
And so now I'm 5'10". I still probably weigh about 130 pounds, maybe a little more. And I was obviously still our number one pitcher, and I got to pitch one game, and we were playing a 4A school in Livingston, and Livingston's probably close to 30,000 population. It was a 4A school, so they had to have, I think, at least 600 to 800 kids in it. And we go up there, and I threw this ball game. I think I ended up punching out 12 of them. They might have got one hit. And that was when, I'm not going to say people started noticing things, but I opened one person's eyes. It was the coach for the other team. His name was Rick Lynch. And his dad was actually my football coach. I was the quarterback on the football team and point guard on the basketball team. Mm-hmm. Because he played everything back then. And the next day, we were doing spring football, and I broke my right wrist, so I missed my entire junior year.
Wow.
And Rick Lynch came to Targhanan to coach the linebackers in football with his dad, and then he was a baseball coach. And I think at the time, Rick was 25 or 26 years old. And he came in, and I'd grown a little bit more, put on a little bit of weight, and I was throwing hard. I had no idea how hard I was throwing. But last game of basketball season, I got cut, and I broke my left wrist and hurt my right shoulder, so I missed my entire senior year.
Wow.
But that one game that I pitched the year before against Livingston, Rick Lynch saw what I could do. And then, believe it or not, I had an academic scholarship to go to the Air Force Academy. And about a month left of school, we go for the final interview, and they're talking to mom and dad, and they go through my medical history, and I ended up failing the physical because I'd had a motorcycle accident when I was 12. I cut off my left big toe and part of my foot. So the military wouldn't take me, so I really didn't know what I was going to do. Well, my high school coach set up a couple things for me to go to junior college and throw, and I went to one junior college, Alvin. And the night I graduated, he put me in his car, and we drove for 4.5 hours to get to Arlington to go to a trial camp that the Phillies had. Well, we drove all night. We didn't leave Cleveland until about midnight, and get up there at 4:30 in the morning. The camp starts at 7. I'm exhausted, so we go to the guy that's running it, a guy named Doug Gassaway. He was a cross-checker for the Phillies. And Rick asked him, said, do you mind if Jason comes back tomorrow to throw? It's a two-day deal. And Doug Gassaway told him, said, no, we don't mind. If you don't mind him facing the guys, we're going to take a second look at it. And Rick said, that's fine. So went back to the hotel, got some sleep, come up next morning. I'm in the outfield stretching, long tossing. I'm the second guy on the mound. You know, they got the turtle up with guys, and they're hitting. And then you got Doug Gassaway and Rudy Tarasas that were with the Phillies, and then about 10 college coaches. Well, I go to the bullpen, and it's the University of Texas, Arlington's catcher at the time. And he looks at me. Now, you remember, I'm probably 5'11", weigh about 155 pounds. I have braces, look like I'm 12. And he looks at me and says, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting ready to go face some hitters. And he sort of gave me that nonchalant, all right, whatever. Top look, and he went back down there, and we played a little catch, and he said, you ready? I said, yep. So he got down, and I turned one loose, and he didn't get a glove on it. It went right by his head, and he started laughing. And he's laughing the whole time I'm warming up. I'm wondering, what the hell is this guy laughing at? So we start to walk out on the field, and he gave me the ball, and he said, dude, I tell you, good luck, but you don't need it. And I said, what? He said, nothing. So we get on the field, and they ask me, so what's your name? And I say, Jason Grimsley. Everybody just ignores me, goes back to talking. Well, I throw the first warm-up pitch, I picked my leg up and turned it loose, and when it hit the mid, it sounded like a gun went off, and everybody's head snaps, and Doug Gassaway's talking to the catcher, and he picks his mask up, and he's still laughing, and he shakes his head, and I get the ball back, and I get ready to throw it again, and I look up, and there's 12 radar guns pointing at me.
They want to see how fast that ball was coming.
Yeah.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Jason Grimsley right after this.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
For homeowners that are planning to list a property for sale, when should they start preparing and what key steps should they prioritize during the initial stages?
You know, that's actually a really good question. We've learned that the most successful sellers will actually get started early. So they'll normally meet with us long before spring and really identify what types of home improvements they might want to consider so they can maximize their value when they bring the home to the market. We'll also discuss things like marketing strategy, what types of things we want to do to maximize the benefit when we start promoting it up and down the state and across the country. And the final thing we'll do is have a broad stroke conversation around price. Just knowing that we'll actually refine that price at the very end, just before we get live, so we can maximize every penny possible.
Go online to reddinghomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2255. 345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Turtle Bay is glowing wild, and Illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world,
including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance.
Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Jason in the house.
All right, so you get the bonus, and then you kind of traversed your way through some minor league ball, right? Where'd you go?
First year with Bend, Oregon. Made $258 every 2 weeks.
Wow.
For 2.5 months. Then I came back home and actually have a college education. Well, 6 hours of it, because I went to six hours of school that winter. And that was the last winter I didn't play. Either instructional ball or go play, and went to play Puerto Rico 1 year and then Venezuela the rest of the years. So I played year-round from basically 1986 to 1994.
So tell us about that experience, because it ended up, you know, a while longer, you get this knock right at the door. And but tell us how you got from here to there, and what went off the rails at what point?
I was probably my own worst enemy on the mound when I was younger, because I didn't feel like anybody should get it off of me. And I never gave in to hitters. I walked a whole bunch of guys because I refused to – I didn't want to put the ball in play.
Right.
And I think things changed for me professionally probably right about the time I was married, and then my first kid came along in 1995. And I'd been up and down in the big leagues. And then 97, my second boy was born. John was born in 96. 97 and 98, I spent 2 years in the minor leagues. Like I said, I was up, down, and then 2 years I didn't get back to the big leagues. But I could throw hard, but I just wasn't consistent. I was what they called effectively wild, I guess, because everything I did was a max effort. And 1998, I went to spring training with the Indians, and they were going to release me. And Bud Black was the pitching coach in AAA, and Bud actually went in and fought for me to be the 11th man on the 10-man pitching staff. And the first part of my career, I'd been a starter the whole time, and they just put me in the back end of the bullpen. Bud Black just said, I want him, and Bud basically taught me how to pitch out of the bullpen. And I think a month and a half, 2 months in the season, I'm the closer. And then we ended up going to the first ever AAA World Series in Vegas. Won the International League. I went to AAA World Series. We played the Astros AAA team. And it was a one game thing. We got beat, but, you know, it was a great experience. And then that winter, we're sitting at home, and Mays and Joe Bick, I still talk to Joe on a weekly basis. He's like my second dad. He gives me a call and says, hey, I got a call from the Yankees. Billy Connors wants to give you a call. I said, well, heck yeah. So I had two kids at the time. Hadn't been in the big leagues for a couple of years. Playing baseball, not making horrible money, but not making enough money to save. And we were struggling financially. I actually thought about not playing again in 97. Bought a little fiberglass company where I was making P-Rows and steps for trailers and fixing boats, things like that. And doing okay. Nothing to make, eat the living out.
Right.
And my wife came to me and said, hey, look, you love playing. You're not going to stop. Just I want you can just go all in, do what you got to do. We're going to be fine. And then 98, go to Cleveland, have a great year. And then 99, or the winter 98, Billy Connors calls me on the phone. And he said, Jason, I'm not going to tell you you're going to make the big leagues. We want to invite you to camp. He said, but if you throw the ball the way I saw you throw the ball last year, you're going to help this team at some point during the season. And, you know, here I am, 2 years in the minor leagues, barely hanging on, and I got the world champ, New York Yankees, giving me a call saying I could possibly help them out. Well, that just gave me a boost of confidence and ended up signing with them. And before we signed, like I said, when we were in a bit of a bind, I told Billy Connors, I said, hey, Billy, I got a favor to ask you of you. I said, if I sign, could you guys advance me $20,000 to get me through the winter, to help me take care of my family so I can do what I need to get ready? He said, I'll call you right back. So I hung up. He called back about 10 minutes. He said, yep, we'll do that. He said, you make the team, we'll take it out of your check. Go to the minor leagues, we'll take it out of your pay. If you don't make the team and we release you, you can keep it. I said, that made me feel even better.
Well, yeah, that's generous. So,
they asked all the non-roster invitees and the new guys that would come to the Yankees to come to spring training about a week early. So I get there a week early, and I was ready to go as soon as I stepped in, got spring training facility in Tampa. And first day, they got about 10 mounds, and, you know, they got a lot of guys up there throwing. And I'm on the far end, and there's one of the young kids that they brought to big league camp to help out with pitchers was catching me. And you know, I'm throwing four-seam fastballs, and I get loose, and I tell him, sinker, throw a two-seam fastball. Well, I throw it, and he just absolutely, it goes between his legs. He misses it. And he said, I can hear him say, oh, my God. I throw it again, and he boxes it again. And now the corner, down the mounds a little bit, I hear Billy Connors say, hey, Griff, good split. And the catcher said, it ain't no effing split. It's his fastball. Well, Billy comes waddling down there. He says, throw it again. So I threw it again. Catcher boxed it again. He said, throw it again. I threw it again. He boxed it again. He grabbed me by shoulders and he turned around. He said, you're not throwing a four-seam fastball. You're not throwing a curveball. You're not throwing a changeup. You're throwing that every pitch. I said, all right. So that started the best years of my career, basically throwing just one pitch. And it was that two-seam fastball that I threw that just the bottom fell out of it at about in the mid-90s. So, you know, and then also during spring training while we were there, my wife was a Christian when we met. I wasn't. She dragged me to church every Sunday unless I could wiggle my way out of to go play golf or go duck hunting or something. And we go to see an Easter production, and God spoke to me. And when I say I went all in, I went all in. George McGovern was a big mentor of mine. I was baptized in Lake Armonk, New York, on April 25th. That's a great day. I got to tell you that story real quick. So April 25th, 1999, I was baptized in New York, Lake Armonk. It was a Sunday. Chad Curtis, Scott Brocious, Andy Pettit, my wife, my boys, mother-in-law was there. And great day. So we go to the ballpark. It's Joe DiMaggio day. So I walk in the clubhouse, and all the old-timers are there, and I'm like a kid in a candy store. I didn't even go to my locker. I just walk around talking to these guys, shaking their hands. So I'm having a great day. I'm baptized, old-timers day.
Right.
Well, Bernie Williams is an incredible guitarist. And he had learned that I played guitar a little bit in spring training, and we got to New York. He said, hey, bring a guitar in. We had an empty locker between his and mine. And he said, I'll show you a couple things. So my guitar was in my locker in Yankee Stadium. I go to my locker, and somebody's sitting in my chair with their back to me playing my guitar. Well, you know, I'm thinking, all right, who the hell's got my guitar? Well, I walk over there, it's Paul Simon. Him and Bernie are playing a guitar together. So I get to sit down and play a guitar with Paul Simon.
Give me my guitar back.
I'm having a good day.
That's a great story.
So, oh, it gets better. Hang on just a second. So Billy Crystal's in there, and we don't have batting practice, so nobody play catch with him. So I go play catch with Billy Crystal outside. And it's a comedy show for 15 minutes between Billy and the fans and me and Billy. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way they can get any better. We're playing the Blue Jays. We got a one-run lead going the night. Metallica starts playing. Mariano comes in. Game over. Well, right. You know, Mariano blew, I think, the only save he blew all year long. I come in and pitch the 10th, 11th inning. I get my first win as a Yankee. All on April 25th, 1999.
All right, you're right. That's, any one of those things is amazing. To have them all happen on one day, that's just awesome. So you end up getting, you get two World Series rings.
Right.
You earn those. I didn't say you get them. You earn those things. But, you know, the book is called, you know, From Ruin to... You know, it's got the word ruin in it. Yeah. So where did things get ruined for you? I mean, you're living the American dream in many ways. You know, wife, kids, baptized, Paul Simon, Bill Crystal. I mean, you're having the time of your life, right? But what happened?
Well, I went from being on fire for Jesus to becoming, it's all about me again. You know, the World Series, all the attention. I honestly felt that baseball defined me and not my relationship with the Lord. Defined me. And that began a precipitous fall. I was living two lives. You know, I was extremely selfish, cheated on my wife, and just thought that, okay, I earned this, I deserve this, and I wanted to live the big league life instead of living a Christ-like life. little did I know that God was using me and shaping me and molding me. And 2000, you know, I leave New York, and then my career really takes off in Kansas City. I have 3.5 incredible years. And, you know, I just fell further and further away from who I was and the family man that I was supposed to be and the follower of Jesus that I was supposed to be. And the fact that, you know, I knew my career was coming to an end, and I tried to numb myself and disassociate myself from basically reality. And then 2006 happened with the whole Mitchell report, and the FBI comes in. They want me to wear a wire. I had some HGH sent to the house, because by this time, everything's killing me. I'd gone through a Tommy John, came back 9.5 months after the surgery to pitch again. Might as well take anything I could to hang on for just a little bit longer, because I thought without baseball, I didn't have anything. And so 2006, the FBI came to me and wanted me to wear a wire and trap other people. And I told them no. I said, you have two choices. I said, you have my job, or you take me to jail. I'm going to take one of them off the table. So I left in the middle of the season, and I just walked away from baseball. You know, it wasn't the celebration of your career or anything like that. It was just, they don't tell you when you leave, you got a great big hole in you that you can't fill with anything. So all I want to do is be numb. So I don't, because alcohol, cocaine, whatever I get my hands on to make myself numb and try to forget about it, I did. And got about an ounce of cocaine, about half dozen bottles of vodka. And my cousin Jason decided I was going to drink and snort myself to death. Well, after 3 days, it didn't work. So I took a gun, walked out in the woods, cocked it, looked at it, pulled the trigger, and didn't go off. And so I said, all right, God, you want to let me live? Well, you want to be dead? What do you want? And this is me being on fire, thinking there's something I could do to earn all of it. He's walking through the process that he's going to love on me. There ain't nothing I can do. All I got to do is accept him. But the biggest moment came after I got out of rehab. And I went to psych ward first, and then I went to rehab. I think I was gone for 40, almost 50 days. Mm. I came back, and I felt like my family would be better off without me. My kids would be better off. My wife would be better off. My wife came to me, and the grace that she showed me really turned things around. She said, Jason, I love you. Jesus loves you. I forgive you. Jesus forgives you. It ain't going to be easy, but you got to forgive yourself, and you got to love yourself. And that grace that she showed me opened my eyes to the grace that the Lord has for me. And I started the journey back.
More Jason in the House next.
Your house the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees. It's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash? Fast. At Liz Buys Houses, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. We understand that facing difficult situations like lifestyle changes requires support. So whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. With Liz Buys Houses, you close on your schedule in as little as 7 days. Selling your house can feel overwhelming, but we're here to simplify the process and to give you peace of mind at every stage. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Liz Buys Houses. Real cash, real fast. For your free, no-obligation cash offer, text CASH to 303030. Again, text CASH to 303030. Text CASH to 303030.
Furnished by Sell My House Fast. Liz Buys Houses does not guarantee transaction results. See LizBuysHouses.net for terms. Text and data rates apply.
America, look around. Everywhere you go, prices are still high, rates have been whipsawing markets, and the debt and spending don't exactly scream stability. Experts say diversifying with intention is the number one secret account that all American smart money uses to hedge against instability. Monetary Gold has been around since 2000, witnessing multiple economic setbacks. If you call now, Monetary Gold will cover up to a lifetime of your IRA fees on qualified accounts. Call Monetary Gold now at 877-NOW-GOLD. That's 877-NOW-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Need to pay off student loan debt, start saving for a big ticket item, or build funds for the future? Well, getting a side hustle is one of the best ways to reach your goal. Some jobs that can create some good extra dough include lawn care professional. You could possibly sign up as a vendor with GreenPal, a lawn care service and app which is sort of like Uber for mowing lawns. Or become a TaskRabbit and earn extra money by completing everyday earns and tasks for people in your area. Or how about trying your hand as a bookkeeper? This side gig typically pays about $30 an hour, according to FlexJobs. Or you could become an online instructor and share your knowledge with the world remotely and on your own schedule. And attention fashionistas, if you have an eye for current trends, you might be able to find a side gig as a fashion consultant for high-end shoppers. These are just a handful of side jobs, and there are many more where you can create your own schedule and snap up some additional cash. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. A recent survey finds one-third of Americans make financial sacrifices in order to pay health care bills. That's according to findings by the West Health Gallup Center on Healthcare in America. Roughly 82 million people in the U.S. are making sacrifices, including skipping meals, driving less, and taking medications less than prescribed. Households making less than $24,000 per year feel the financial strain the most, while one quarter of those earning $90,000 to $120,000 a year also say they make trade-offs to pay for healthcare expenses. In a separate survey by the center, some adults also reveal they were delaying major events, including getting surgeries, changing jobs, and buying a new home because of high healthcare costs. The study looked at roughly 20,000 adults and was conducted from June through August of 2025. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
The book is called Cross-Stitched, One Man's Journey from Ruin to Restoration, and I hope a lot of people buy it, purchase it, absorb it, and understand that there are people that have gone through a lot harder, you know, a lot harder things than maybe they're going through, or maybe yours is the hardest ever, but there is a way back.
Yeah, no, mine's not the hardest ever, not even close. You know, there's people out there that are really struggling. But, you know, the message I want to convey is that there's always hope. And the one knock I have on rehab facilities and different things now is that they've pretty much taken God completely out of it. You know, I think it's a God of your own understanding now. Well, there's only one God. And, to heal, you know, I think they have a 3 to 5% success rate now. Whereas in the '60s, AA and different programs had almost a 90% success rate. Hmm. That's because they were introduced to the Lord and they were led to the Lord. And in my opinion, it's probably the only avenue to a successful rehabilitation.
Well, amazing journey, amazing story. I'm sure it's a great book. There's some lighter moments too, right? You're telling some fun stories there along the way. You couldn't have played. Yeah. You couldn't have been in the major leagues and the minors that long without some crazy stories.
No. The whole Albert Bell. I stole Albert Bell's bat out of the umpire's room in Comiskey. That was pretty funny. No idea why I thought I could do that, but I did, and I did it. Crawling through the rafters during the middle of a game, stealing a bat out of the umpire's room. No idea why that popped into my mind when they confiscated his bat, but I looked at Buddy Bell and I said, I can go get it. So he talked to Mike Hargrove, and I went and got it.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Yeah. What are the best baseball movies that you've seen? Just fun stuff. I mean, Bull Durham and Moneyball come to my mind, but is there something else out there I should be watching that, that kind of captures
it? I don't like Moneyball. I don't like Moneyball that much because I'm the guy that gives up the home run in the end, so I don't really don't like that.
Oh, it is? Whoops, sorry to bring you that up.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Well, I stepped in it on that one.
To be honest with you, yeah, there's your landmine. I think my favorite baseball movie is probably The Natural, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, Robert Redford, yeah.
I love that movie, and then Field of Dreams.
Yeah, that's a yeah.
Dude, when Kevin Costner asked his dad, like, yes, when you get in.
Yeah.
If you're not crying, you ain't got a heart. You know what I mean?
No, it is such an emotional, touches everybody. Yeah, you're right. That is, I don't know. I loved Bull Durham too, because I just thought that was just so funny. Again, Kevin Costner. It's just so
funny. Believe it or not, that's not far off.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jason, I hope to be able to shake your hand and meet you in person sometime, but it's been an honor chatting with you. And you know, you gave a lot of entertainment, a lot of excitement to a lot of people, and a lot of people look up to you. And to come out and just tell it like it is and lay it out there and try to, you know, do it in the spirit of making life better for somebody else out there. God bless you. Keep it up. It really.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me. You know, like I said, it's an honor to talk to you. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I really enjoyed it, and look forward to doing it again sometime.
No, and I'd love to meet your wife, because you know what, she's got a strength that's so admirable. I can just tell the way you tell it and talk about it. And without her, you know, who knows where you'd be. So, her as well.
Well, funny thing was, when I met her, I was 23 years old. I was in the big leagues. I had a Rolodex of numbers. Girl, if you'd have told me I was getting married the minute before I met her, I'd have laughed at you.
Yeah.
I met her, and 11 months later, we were married in 31 years. So here we are.
Happy anniversary. I've been married 31 years myself, and couldn't imagine life without her as well. So, well, thank you again.
Yes,
so much. The book is called Cross Stitched: One Man's Journey from Ruin to Restoration. And
yes,
Jason, thank you again for joining us. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. It's a great story. He told great stories. I hope to meet him sometime in person, but I really appreciate him taking the time to do this and to write a book that hopefully will help some people. I would love it if you rate the podcast. That'd be helpful. And you can subscribe to the podcast. It shows up once a week. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Again, thanks so much for joining us. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Selling your house the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees. It's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash? Fast. At Liz Buys Houses, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. We understand that facing difficult situations like lifestyle changes requires support. So whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. With Liz Buys Houses, you close on your schedule in as little as 7 days. Selling your house can feel overwhelming, but we're here to simplify the process and to give you peace of mind at every stage. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Liz Buys Houses. Real cash, real fast. For your free, no-obligation cash offer, text CASH to 303030. Again, text CASH to 303030. Text CASH to 303030.
Furnished by Sell My House Fast. Liz Buys Houses does not guarantee transaction results. See LizBuysHouses.net for terms. Text and data rates apply.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs.
Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump promising airstrikes on Iran's power plants and bridges on Tuesday of this week if the Strait of Hormuz is not fully reopened. Elsewhere, a U.S. serviceman who was missing since Iran shot down his fighter jet on Friday was found in a rescue involving dozens of aircraft. A second crew member had been rescued already. American Enterprise Institute analyst Matthew Continetti says it's possible that Iranian leaders don't fully grasp the damage the U.S. has been doing to its country.
They don't know the full picture of what's going on. They don't have access to the full range of information. And that does mean, as my colleague Fred Kagan suggests, that when the war ends, they're going to come up from their bunkers, they're going to look around, and they're going to find that the Iranian regime has been dealt a punishing, and I hope lethal, blow.
He was a guest on the Salem Radio Network. There are about 2.5 billion Christians in the world, the vast majority of them celebrating the resurrection today. Easter services in conflict zones will be muted. Georgia's voting system at the center of a dispute the state lawmakers can't seem to resolve.
The Georgia General Assembly ended its annual session on Friday without a plan for new equipment to overhaul the state's voting system by a July deadline. Lawmakers failed to offer a solution after months of debate, and that's raising questions about how Georgians will vote in November. Currently, voters in that battleground state make their choices on Dominion voting machines, which then print ballots with a QR code. President Trump has targeted those machines following his 2020 election loss, but state law still requires counties to use the machines. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Afghanistan Disaster Management Authority says widespread flooding, landslides, and lightning have triggered by heavy rain and storms have killed at least 77 people and wounded 140. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt nightmare and saves you lots of money. Consumers owing at least $10,000 in credit card debt or personal loans can now take advantage of this debt relief as the cost of living skyrockets. Debt Relief Advocates has established a relief hotline for you to call to learn what debt reduction you may qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the Relief Hotline at 800-522-2174. 800-522-2174. 800-522-2174.
Workers at one of the nation's largest meatpacking plants plan to get back to work this week, halting a three-week strike in order to resume negotiations with the plant's owners. The strike by thousands of workers at the Swift Beef Company plant in Greeley, Colorado, began on March 16th in coordination with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. A JBS representative says the company is preparing to ramp up the Greeley plant even without reaching a new labor deal. It was the first major strike at a U.S. slaughterhouse since 1985. The Afghanistan Disaster Management Authority says there's been a major earthquake in the country, 5.8 on the open-ended Richter scale. At the moment, there are very few reports of deaths or injuries, though about 12 people have been killed. The concern is that as new reports come in over the course of the day, those numbers may go higher. The area is subject to earthquakes on a regular basis. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump and Secretary of State Marco Rubio have sharply criticized NATO. More on that from correspondent Ken Lormont.
Both argue that the alliance has become a one-way street, benefiting Europe, with America carrying the bulk of defense spending but receiving little reciprocal support. France, the UK, Germany, and Spain have blocked U.S. requests for base usage and airspace transit despite minimal demands to directly join the conflict with Iran.
The president suggested U.S. might consider leaving NATO, citing European Union's failure to reciprocate despite decades of American defense spending and support. Today is Sunday, April the 5th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Michael Moriarty, who is 85 years old. Country music star Pat Green is 54. Actress Haley Atwell, 44. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marie Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Oliva Melano Maduro. From the verdant fields of Jalapa, Nicaragua, comes an epic 95-rated cigar, wrapped in a Maduro leaf from San Andres. Expect notes of espresso, anise, and walnut liqueur. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
Operation Epic Fury enters its second month. Joint U.S.-Israeli airstrikes continue hitting Iran. Though Tehran maintains its blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, domestic gas prices have surged to an average of $4, marking a four-year high. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth warning that if a deal is not reached, the ongoing operations would continue with even more intensity.
President Trump doesn't bluff, and he does not back down. You can ask Khamenei about that. The new Iranian regime should know that by now. This new regime, because regime change has occurred, should be wiser than the last. President Trump will make a deal. He is willing. And the terms of the deal are known to them. If Iran is not willing, then the United States War Department will continue with even more intensity.
Meanwhile, back home, a Senate recess continues to leave DHS funding in limbo. President Trump is now considering a rare special session of Congress, a move not used since 1948. With that, let's bring in our panel, former State Department spokesperson under President Obama, Marie Harf, Republican strategist, co-founder of South and Hill Strategies, Colin Reed, and Fox News senior correspondent, Benjamin Hall. Benji, what do you think about what we're seeing on the Strait of Hormuz? A lot of tankers have made their way through, and it seems like there is an opening there, more flow through the straits. But it seems like Iran is either letting it happen or seriously diminished to be able to prevent it.
Well, they are letting it happen at the moment. And so at the moment, you know, we might say that tankers are passing through the Straits of Hormuz, but it does still appear as if the Iranians are controlling who can go in and out. Now, the one ship that was hit, there was a Kuwaiti ship, and actually was, strangely enough, heading towards China. So it was interesting to see the Iranians hit a ship that was heading to China. But I still think that the Straits of Hormuz is the one big problem moving forward. At the moment, it appears that the Iranians can close it if they want to, because you have billion-dollar ships, and all you need to do is get one drone, one mine into them. So for all the military might the U.S. is currently using, they haven't quite figured out how to demolish what's along the Straits of Hormuz, and I think perhaps that's what we may see in the coming days.
Yeah, Marie, the president, the administration continues to say negotiations are continuing. The Iranians, at least publicly, are not saying that's moving forward. But yet the targeting is continuing at length. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs laying out specifically how they are hovering essentially over Iran and having dynamic targeting that changes based on the intel they have as they're over Iran.
Brett, that's right. And I think what's happening in the Strait really underscores the fact that the U.S. military can have quite a bit of success at taking out Iranian military assets. They have. I mean, we've seen every day videos of these strikes. But at the same time, anyone who has studied Iran for decades would tell you, would have told you before this war started, that if in fact they were attacked, this was one of their best options to retaliate, to close the straits. And so the president is in a tough position today because the strait was open before the war. We have now gone to war. A number of American service members have lost their life. We have had some military success. We are surging more assets to the region. And today we are in a worse off strategic position when it comes to oil supply and our supply chains and the global economy because the strait is closed. We're in a worse position today strategically than we were when the war started. That is not a tenable position for the Trump administration. I think they are concerned about this because the amount of manpower, the sustained effort, what it would take to open the strait, it's such an escalation in terms of American military involvement that certainly President Trump's base is not interested, does not seem interested in, and more broadly, the country does not seem interested in a huge escalation with ground troops in Iran and a lot more military assets heading to the strait to do something that wasn't a problem before the war.
Yeah, I will say a couple of things, Colin. One is the percentage of U.S. Derived oil going through the straits is actually pretty small. We obviously are affected directly by all of this with the trading that we do with other countries, and inflation is a part of all of this. Fertilizer and those products do go through the strait, and that affects farmers and a lot of things. But as far as countries that rely 80%, 90%, or at least more than 50, there are a lot of other countries, which is what the administration is pointing to get a coalition to continue to open up the straits.
And I'll take that a point further, Brett. Natural gas, for instance, natural gas prices in our country have remained relatively flat throughout this crisis. In Europe, they're up about 500%. And that speaks to the strength of the American oil and gas industry that has been supported by this administration after being just besieged by the Biden administration. And it also speaks to the fact that the rest of the world has skin in the game in the Strait of Hormuz opening. I agree with Marie in the idea that the Strait of Hormuz, where one-fifth of the world's entire oil supply goes through each day, cannot be a toll road subject to the whims of what's left of a maniacal regime and all the untold terror they want to inflict. But at the same time, the United States is much less impacted by this than European and other countries. And I think that's what I sense you're seeing from the president today in some of his suggestions that he's willing to walk away with the strait being closed, which is a negotiating tactic to get others who do have a lot to lose here back to the negotiating table. But look, we're a month in. We're 4 weeks into what's promised to be a six-week conflict. And so there's one-third of the remaining time left. That's a lot of time to go. I do expect the president to stick to that time frame. I think he knows that's what will keep his supporters with him. And he knows that a long, protracted, drawn-out conflict is not in his interest and is not in the United States' long-term interest.
Yeah. Benji, I think that, the Europeans obviously are not happy with how the president's talking about them, talking about their military might, their ability to step up, specifically going after the UK in a Truth Social post. I talked to a senior British official who basically said this is an offensive operation, was an independent U.S. decision and a different policy approach from Europeans who thought there was road left in negotiations. Basically, they took offense to what came out, but said they are doing a lot behind the scenes and offensively and protecting Israel from a number of drones and missile attacks. You know, we do need the allies to step up if you're going to do a coalition effort in the Strait.
Yeah, and I think President Trump has been pretty upset that NATO allies have not been there alongside him. And, you know, we've seen, for example, a letter from NATO saying, yes, we're going to put together a group, we're going to come and help with the Straits of Hormuz, but there's no action being taken. It's sort of how can they best say we're going to support you without actually sending the military requirements to do so. The UK in particular, I think, has been certainly... President Trump has not been happy with them, to start with not allowing American airplanes to take off from Diego Garcia. That perhaps really affected the way that the U.S. could take part in this. In terms of the UK sending ships, their Navy, and it's just been coming out, is so diminished. They don't even really have aircraft carriers to send. They've got two of them, but they can't put together strike carrier groups around them. They don't quite have enough sailors. And so a lot of questions being raised, not only about whether or not these countries are going to be there and have been there to support the US, but actually where their military currently stands. And I think these are a pure case of, for decades, these countries have just decided that it is America who is going to lead the way, it is America who's going to take care of so many of these issues, and their military spending has dropped down. And I think what we will have to see in the future is their military spending more to increase it. But yeah. Certainly, I think it's going to cause rifts. We've heard President Trump talk in both of his presidencies about his relationship with NATO, and he's been saying in tweets on X recently that the U.S. may not be there for them in the future to stand alongside them. So, you know, does this lead to a greater divide between the U.S. and NATO allies, and how can NATO perhaps play a role to getting on side again? I think the U.K. may be sending some minesweepers, autonomous vehicles, that's something. They've helped out with some air defenses, shooting down drones, but certainly nothing offensive. And they are literally saying that this was an illegal war for them. It was an illegal engagement, and so they don't want to get involved. So real rifts are being caused.
We'll be back with more right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time, standard application may vary. Online health questions required.
Selling your house the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees. It's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash? Fast. At Liz Buys Houses, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. We understand that facing difficult situations like lifestyle changes requires support. So whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. With Liz Buys Houses, you close on your schedule in as little as 7 days. Selling your house can feel overwhelming, but we're here to simplify the process and to give you peace of mind at every stage. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Liz Buys Houses. Real cash. Real fast. For your free, no-obligation cash offer, text CASH to 303030. Again, text CASH to 303030. Text CASH to 303030.
Furnished by Sell My House Fast. Liz Buys Houses does not guarantee transaction results. See LizBuysHouses.net for terms. Text and data rates apply.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
House Call for Health. A recent survey finds one-third of Americans make financial sacrifices in order to pay health care bills. That's according to findings by the West Health Gallup Center on Healthcare in America. Roughly 82 million people in the U.S. are making sacrifices, including skipping meals, driving less, and taking medications less than prescribed. Households making less than $24,000 per year feel the financial strain the most, while one quarter of those earning $90,000 to $120,000 a year also say they make trade-offs to pay for health care expenses. In a separate survey by the center, some adults also reveal they were delaying major events, including getting surgeries, changing jobs, and buying a new home because of high health care costs. The study looked at roughly 20,000 adults and was conducted from June through August of 2025. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
In an election year, many people ask which polls I trust. So let me share some basic guidelines. Arguably, the most important thing is look for polls that use probability-based or random sampling. That gives the best chance the results reflect the broader population, whether the sample is all adults or a list of registered voters, and whether interviewing is on the phone, online, or by mail, or a combination of those, you want a truly random sample. You should easily be able to find that information. If you can't, don't trust the results. That's how important transparency is. Transparency applies to things like the dates the survey was conducted, how many people were interviewed, the margin of error, what questions were asked, and who sponsored the research. Is it nonpartisan? All those things matter. Even then, not all polls are equal. Finally, avoid opt-in or self-select online polls. Those are just for entertainment. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The nation's air traffic controllers went on strike on August 3, 1981, grounding about 7,000 daily flights. 3 days later, President Ronald Reagan took an unprecedented move to break the strike. He fired all 12,000 air traffic controllers in retaliation.
Let me read the solemn oath taken by each of these employees. I am not participating in any strike against the government of the United States or any agency thereof. It is for this reason that I must tell those who fail to report for duty this morning, they are in violation of the law, and if they do not report for work within 48 hours, they have forfeited their jobs and will be terminated.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
They did say, this official said, that the UK is leading diplomacy to get this future maritime security task force, getting over 30 nations now to sign up to the statement that they have led. That's what they say. But Marie, to Benjamin's point, that there is a split here. You know, when you have Spain not allowing U.S. warplanes to take off from a where we have been in Spain, two of them, those bases, that's quite something.
It definitely is. I would put more of the onus on the president and the Trump administration, in large part because they didn't consult our allies before they went into our European allies before they went into Iran and started this military action. You know, I think it's hard to ask countries to join a military action they weren't consulted on. They were not a part of the planning in. They did not agree with from a strategic perspective. And now that we've messed it up and the strait is closed and we need help to say, hey, you have to come save us now. So I think that it's, look, I think President Trump, as Ben said, has long taken issue with NATO. I mean, I would remind everyone yet again that the only time Article 5 has ever been invoked was in support of the United States after Afghanistan, when NATO came and fought with us there against Al-Qaeda.
True, so, but I've heard you give him credit for getting NATO countries to step up to 2.5% and now 5%.
Absolutely.
And you have given him credit.
on that.
Brett, you're absolutely right. He got something done no other American president could have gotten done, but always wanted to, which was to get the Europeans to pay more. So I think in this scenario, and, you know, the new head of NATO has actually worked well, I think, with President Trump before the Iran war. So I think there was some openness from NATO to evolve with the times now that President Trump was sort of taking the relationship in this direction. But asking them to participate in a war that they fundamentally don't agree with, that they see, and I would argue, is a war of choice and was not one of them being attacked like we were on 9/11, not involving them in the planning and then saying, hey, step up, is a little difficult for them. But this is my last point. The truth remains we need to open the strait. And so whether that's done through diplomacy that the Europeans can participate in, whether that's done through military action, it needs to be open. For the world economy, for the global economy, for so many different things. And so we are where we are now, and I think the Europeans need to figure out how to work with the Americans to get that piece done.
And I get that you put the onus on President Trump and the administration because they've initiated this, but isn't there some responsibility here for Iran holding the world's economy hostage by doing what they're doing in the Strait?
Brett, of course. Look, I think that Iran is a nefarious actor in the region, and they have killed Americans. They've threatened our ally Israel. They've gone after the Gulf states, our close partners. Of course, they should not be doing all those things, and they should not close the strait. It is just a fact of geopolitics that if you looked at the things Iran would do if attacked, one was closing the strait, and the second was attacking the Gulf states, and they are doing both. Both were entirely predictable, and so I wish there had been a little more planning on the front end with our allies to combat both of those things, and now we have to figure out a way to do it because both are huge threats.
And the other part of that, Brett, is for 47 years, this regime has been chanting death to America and has been exporting death and terror throughout the world in the region to all, us and our allies, not just through their own efforts, but also through all the many proxies they fund and support. And this idea that everything was going hunky-dory beforehand and it was a choice between doing nothing or doing something, it's a false choice. And again, Jerry Baker had a really important column in the Wall Street Journal. We're two-thirds of the way through this, what was stated to be a six-week timeline, and there's a lot of time left to go. But the idea that somehow the world would have been better if we just let this terrorist regime in place. Look, the idea that Iran should not have a nuclear weapon was something that used to have bipartisan support. And nowadays, sadly, it sometimes feels that the domestic and international opponents of President Trump would rather him fail than to get rid of this horrific regime.
Yeah. And the question is whether the U.S. will have met its objectives as laid out in the first night of the war, or it has evolved into other things, to your point, Marie. But you also have the Gulf states, Marie, weighing in, several of them, worried that the U.S. is going to pull up stakes, and in just a matter of time, the regime reconstitutes and becomes the same player that it was in the region.
That's right. That's exactly right, Brett. I think it's been fascinating watching the Gulf states, including mm-hmm. someone like the Saudis and Mohammed bin Salman, who has reportedly been really encouraging the Trump administration to stay the course. You know, to Benjamin's really great points about what comes next, I think for the Iranian regime, winning now is survival. All they have to do in their minds to win is to survive in power. And it's hard to see at this point, when they are still the ones with the guns and the opposition is not, how we see a regime transition at this moment. You know, usually these regimes are overthrown by evolution, not revolution. We all hope the Iranian regime is overthrown and something better comes up in its place. But at this moment, it's hard to see how that happens. And I do think the Gulf states have really been awakened during this war to how aggressive Iran can be and how far into the Gulf states they can reach with their weapons and how far they're willing to go, targeting civilian infrastructure, going after not just American military outlets, but airports, apartment buildings, right? So I think the Gulf feels very vulnerable and wants to make sure that whenever the United States leaves, and I don't think we should leave quickly. I think we need to finish the job now that we've started it. But that will take a sustained campaign, Brett, of mm-hmm. continuing to degrade Iran's missile infrastructure, drone program, and really take some hard shots at the regime so they come out of this war not feeling emboldened to continue wreaking havoc in the Gulf. I really think the Gulf has been awakened by this. They were such an island of stability for so long, and Iran has demonstrated they are willing to go after them in a way maybe they didn't expect fully.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I do think it stiffened the spine of some of those Gulf Arab allies. The UAE exponentially more attacked than even Israel in this entire conflict. Okay, panel, thanks so much. Now for a bit of history. On March 27, 1929, President Herbert Hoover officially brought the Oval Office into the modern era by having a telephone installed directly on his desk. While the White House had been equipped with a switchboard since the Hayes administration in 1878, previous presidents had to use a phone located in a nearby foyer to conduct business. Transition wasn't seamless. Hoover reportedly complained to aides about early technical glitches when his son was unable to reach him from an outside line. Despite the initial bugs, the installation permanently changed how the executive branch communicates, ensuring the president was no longer forced to leave his desk to take a call. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Marie, Colin, and Ben, I'm Brett Baer.
We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1986.
Despite our repeated warnings, Gaddafi continued his reckless policy of intimidation, his relentless pursuit of terror. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
Engine throttling up, 3 inches now at 104%.
Challenger.
An official announcement from the Council of Ministers. There has been an accident at the Chernobyl Atomic Power Station.
Clearly, this disease, which strikes men and women, children and adults, people of all races, must be stopped. It is estimated that 1.5 million people are now infected with the AIDS virus.
The United States has not swapped boatloads of plane loads of American weapons for the return of American hostages, and we will not.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
From around the world,
Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Su, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Now, from the historical audio archives, the Fox News Talk.
Heavy snow fell in Washington, D.C. the night before John F. Kennedy's inauguration, but thoughts of canceling the plans were overruled. On January 20th, 1961, he stood in the bitter cold on the steps of the Capitol and before a crowd of 20,000 was sworn in as the 35th President of the United States.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
It turns out the happiest place on earth is not Disney World, but Finland. According to the recently released World Happiness Report from Oxford University and Gallup, the Northern European nation ranked highest overall. The survey's authors say Nordic countries ranked in the top 10 because they use their oil wealth to create welfare states that protect people from economic risk, leaving more time for social activities. One resident, Rosa Arnold, says it's about being optimistic.
I think you just have to be hopeful and positive.
What does God say about being happy? How does God measure our happiness? Turns out, nowhere in the Bible does God promise us happiness. That's an emotion dependent on our situation, which usually fluctuates from day to day or moment by moment. God's directive is to be holy. Because we are made in His image, holiness brings a joy and contentment independent of any of life's ups and downs. To find out more, go to foxnews.com. For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
President Trump is replacing Attorney General Pam Bondi. The president has named Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche as the acting AG. Bondi's tenure featured large-scale firings of career Justice Department employees, investigations of the president's perceived enemies, and outrage over the handling of the Jeffrey Epstein files. We have Fox News coverage. Trey Gowdy has analysis of Bondi's removal. Peter Ducey at the White House tells us what he's hearing about the decision. But we begin with correspondent David Spott. Good evening, David.
Good evening. Pam Bondi's tenure as attorney general lasted almost 14 months. She said last summer she expected to stay the entire four-year term. Multiple sources say her problems began, though, just weeks after becoming attorney general. She appeared on this network in February 2025. Watch.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review.
Last July, the DOJ put out a memo announcing the Epstein case would essentially be closed, announcing definitively the systematic review revealed no incriminating client list. The department eventually released millions of pages of documents, but no definitive so-called client list. Since then, Bondi has been peppered with questions about Epstein at press conferences and from lawmakers, including Republicans. Sources say it infuriated the president, keeping the story in the headlines. Now, her temporary replacement, current Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, a former federal prosecutor turned defense attorney who represented Donald Trump in three of his criminal trials, are close, he and Trump, and sources say that he could be nominated permanently. In a social media post, Bondi confirmed that she will be moving to the private sector, saying leading President Trump's historic and highly successful efforts to make America safer and more secure has been the honor of a lifetime and easily the most consequential first year of the Department of Justice in American history. She says over the next month, she will ensure there's a smooth transition to Todd Blanche, who is now the acting attorney general. Brett?
Okay, David, thank you.
Of course, I wasn't in the loop on that, but Pam Bondi, look, we have a close relationship. I wish Pam Bondi the best, and I think Todd Blanche will step up and won't skip a beat. I think you keep that train on the track. We'll keep moving forward.
She is an extremist. She's petulant. I mean, she comes to Congress like a child, and it's embarrassing for the whole institution. She was about to be deposed in the Epstein case. That's why Trump got rid of her 12 days before that was supposed to happen.
Democrats and Republicans reacting to the Attorney General Pam Bondi, moved aside by the president. Todd Blanche is now the acting Attorney General. The president putting out a True Social saying, "We love Pam and she will be transitioning to a much needed and important new job in the private sector to be announced at a date in the near future. And our Deputy Attorney General, very talented and respected legal mind, Todd Blanche, will step in to serve as acting Attorney General." And a senior administration official on background saying that the president considered removal for a while. There's no bad blood, but thinks the Justice Department needs new leadership. We'll start there with our panel. Let's bring in Fox News contributor Hugh Hewitt, Melissa DeRosa, former chief of staff to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and Josh Holmes, co-host of the Ruthless podcast, former chief of staff to Senator Mitch McConnell. All right, Hugh, your thoughts on this? Surprising? What do you think about it?
Not surprising, Brett. The most important position in the cabinet in many respects is the attorney general. The president has to have complete confidence in the attorney general, and the attorney general must be very, very competent and willing to give the president bad news. I think people ought to think about the fact that the president gave the news to AG Bondi on the drive back from the Supreme Court after an argument that just did not go well. John Sauer just did not go well with the justices. And I think everyone knows the executive order on birthright citizenship is going to be struck down by, if not 7, maybe even 8 or 9 justices of the court are going to find a reason to strike that down. Maybe that broke the back. But having worked for 2 attorney generals, William French Smith and Edwin Meese, during President Reagan's term, the most important thing is competence and a competence on the part of the AG to run a department with 120,000 people in it. It's a tough combination to find. Todd Blanche might be the right mix.
Melissa, you know, Epstein, it's not just coming up from Democrats, but Republicans as well. If you look back to that Vanity Fair piece where Susie Wiles was quoted a bunch, in that, in February, Bondi gave binders labeled the Epstein Files Phase 1 to a group of conservative social media influencers who were visiting the White House. The binders turned out to contain nothing but old information. Quote, "I think she completely whiffed on appreciating that that was the very targeted group that cared about this," Wiles said of Bondi. "First, she gave them binders full of nothingness, and then she said that the witness list or client list was on her desk. There is no client list, and it sure as hell wasn't on her desk." That's Susie Wiles, White House Chief of Staff, in that article. Seems like that issue is coming up again and again.
Oh, 100%, Brett. And I mean, listen, the handling of the Epstein situation has been an albatross around the president's neck almost since day one. Her testimony before Congress was the political equivalent of a Hindenburg. And so I think with her slated to go back in on the 16th, there was a lot of trepidation about what else could go wrong. And so this was an attempt to get rid of her before she has to go in. And now the question remains, will that get her out of going before Congress a second time or not?
No bad blood is what the message was behind the scenes, Josh. But, you know, moving AG before a midterm is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look, this was always going to be a tough job in the second Trump term. And I hate to make this analogy in front of my good friend Hugh Hewitt, but I do think the head coach of his beloved Browns probably has better job security than an attorney general in this administration. It's going to be a tough job. There's very high expectations and a lot can go wrong. All that being said, I think you nailed it. It seems about as amicable as it could be under the circumstances. And I do think that Todd Blanche can do a heck of a job. We'll see whether or not President Trump ultimately chooses him as a permanent replacement. But I think in the interim, he's a very good choice to lead the department.
All right. After that speech on Iran, Hugh, have things changed? Did it change? Did it move the needle?
No, I don't think it did. Now, it was a very good speech. I thought it was direct. I thought it was very, very tough on the two audiences it was most intended for, Iran and our allies. So I thought the message he sent to Iran and to our allies was very good. But the days of speeches moving public opinion, like Richard Nixon's great silent majority speech, he had 100 million people watch that in a nation of 202 million people, and his approval rating went up to 77% because Americans used to be persuadable. They're not now. They're polarized. I don't think anybody's opinion of Donald Trump changed, but the reality of the importance of the war was driven home, and it will be there for historians to see. He made the case again. He made it on the first night of the war. As long as the war goes, it will always be about having stopped Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, and that will be a legacy.
Melissa, then Josh, quick statement.
You know, I think that if he's ultimately able to do that and he doesn't cut and run because the pressure is too great economically, that will certainly be a legacy that he is able to attain that no other president has been able to since 1979. But I'm not sure he made the case that that is where we are going to end up. And we have continued to hear two to three more weeks of this since the very beginning, and I don't think that changed anybody's hearts and minds.
Josh?
Listen, Brett, I was comforted by the reassurance that he's going to finish the job. There's a lot of outside noise out there, particularly amongst some of his political allies, and the idea that you go into Iran without actually finishing the job was a real fear for a lot of people who watch this closely. I think he reaffirmed his commitment, and I think that's a good thing.
All right, panel. Thanks so much.
We'll be back with more right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Your house the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees. It's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash? Fast. At Liz Buys Houses, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. We understand that facing difficult situations like lifestyle changes requires support. So whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. With Liz Buys Houses, you close on your schedule in as little as 7 days. Selling your house can feel overwhelming, but we're here to simplify the process and to give you peace of mind at every stage. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Liz Buys Houses. Real cash, real fast. For your free, no-obligation cash offer, text CASH to 303030. Again, text CASH to 303030. Text CASH to 303030.
Furnished by Sell My House Fast. Liz Buys Houses does not guarantee transaction results. See LizBuysHouses.net for terms. Text and data rates apply.
America, look around. Everywhere you go, prices are still high, rates have been whipsawing markets, and the debt and spending don't exactly scream stability. Experts say diversifying with intention is the number one secret account that all American smart money uses to hedge against instability. Monetary Gold has been around since 2000, witnessing multiple economic setbacks. If you call now, Monetary Gold will cover up to a lifetime of your IRA fees on qualified accounts. Call Monetary Gold now at 877-NOW-GOLD. That's 877-NOW-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
The United States is conducting more intense, targeted strikes with devastating combat power with each passing day to destroy the threat posed by the Iranian terrorist regime. It's no surprise that we are seeing the remaining elements of the regime become increasingly eager to end the destruction and come to the negotiating table while they still can.
Pakistan continues to work toward a mediation role in the conflict between U.S. and Iran. Joining us tonight, Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S., Rizwan Saeed Sheikh. Mr. Ambassador, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we're trying to get a granular feel about where these negotiations stand or where they may be going. Your country is trying to play host. Where do you see it tonight?
Essentially, we have to look at the backdrop because it is in the context of both countries and even the broader regional countries placing their confidence in Pakistan to conduct this facilitation, for which we are certainly grateful. But we are also mindful of the fact that it is not an easy process. It's a very complicated matter with too many moving pieces, economic, political, you know. We are all in the world looking at the situation presented by the closure of Strait of Hormuz. There are other political implications that continue to unfold as we speak. But Pakistan, in keeping with its long-standing tradition of believing not only for itself in dialogue and diplomacy, but offering it previously. I mean, look at the premier example of Pakistan brokering rapprochement between China and United States in early 70s, which is certainly a primary example. Imagine two top economies of the world not talking to each other had it not been for Pakistan. So we're emboldened by that, and this recent offer of Pakistan and placement of confidence in Pakistan is based on this good intent, which has been joined in by other regional countries as well. There were three foreign ministers in Pakistan hosted by our deputy prime minister and foreign minister. Our prime minister has been talking, working up phones with the global leadership. So we are trying to create the conducive setting for this dialogue to take place.
Do you think that you have the right people involved in Iran as far as the negotiation? There's some question about who the U.S. is kind of going through as far as the decision-making on the ground in Iran. First of all, who are you working with here in the U.S., and how is it going with the people in Iran?
Well, Brett, as I said, there are multiple challenges here. Too many moving pieces. So there are multiple channels of communication as well that are in play as we speak. Different levels of engagement. Prime Minister is on it. Deputy Prime Minister is on it. There are other mechanisms which are contacting their respective counterparts. And in terms of who exactly dealing part we are dealing with, is the fact that the confidence building measure demonstrated in movement of ships that were allowed, 8 in the first instance and now another 20 in the second instance, is not just a concept of operation, but a proof of concept that has been implemented to induce confidence in the system, which has to be a prerequisite for commencement of the actual negotiation procedure. But contacts are in place.
Yeah, and the president touted that the other day, of the 20 ships going through. What do you think your timeline is here? Do you have a timeline?
Well, much as everybody would want this, the hostilities at least to form in themselves a confidence-building measure and end, diplomacy is a gradual process. It takes a lot of patient politics that has to morph into deaf diplomacy that needs to be conducted here. But we should get things moving in the interest of the broader region faster, we hope, and we are optimistic.
But you see the president's Truth Social posts. I mean, he kind of puts a deadline on it before major strikes on electric generating plants, oil wells, Karg Island. He's making some pretty significant timelines here for the Iranians to answer the call for diplomacy.
Certainly, but let's look at the fact that Iran is a war-torn country with the communication channels certainly disrupted, and it is not even easy to get responses in a good time from the system that currently is in place there. So you would have noticed that these deadlines have been extended in the past, in recent past, and we are working religiously with regard to the current deadline. But, of course, the process will take its own due course. And while Pakistan continues to be the facilitator, it is actually upon the conflicting parties themselves to not only create the prerequisites for negotiations and to be able to conduct them in all earnest, but they will have to take the decisions which make it successful.
Yeah, Pakistan and Iran share a 565-mile border, so you're right next to each other. You know, back in 2019, I talked to the former now Pakistani Prime Minister about the possibility of a nuclear Iran. Take a listen.
Do you think Iran wants a nuclear weapon?
I can't say about Iran wanting a nuclear weapon, but as a neighbor of Iran, we certainly hope that this does not become a full-blown conflict.
And what are you doing? Can you help with the transit of ships or the...
You know, we would love to help if obviously we were asked, because we are a neighbor of Iran.
Wanting to be a part of that, I should point out Imran Khan has been in prison since August of 2023, serving multiple sentences for convictions, including corruption. He denies that, saying it's politically motivated. Your hope, now that there is continued fighting, the Houthis in the neighborhood saying that they're going to get into kinetic action and have over the Red Sea, how much does that complicate things?
Well, there, as we discussed, are too many moving pieces already, and there are other elements that can complicate things. But the whole idea is to not to give way to more hostilities, but in the first instance, as a prerequisite for negotiation process to take place, try and end hostilities that can lend the necessary diplomatic space for discussion on the substance.
So you're looking for a ceasefire?
I think in any negotiation process, that would be a good thing to start with. But it is, of course, upon the conflicting parties to reach an understanding there and indicate something good on that score.
I want to turn. Pakistan and Afghanistan have been trading fire as you're preparing to host potentially these talks about U.S. and Iran. Where is that? You've traded heavy fire, and both sides say there's a temporary pause in the fighting there between Islamabad and Kabul.
Well, as I said, Pakistan believes in dialogue and diplomacy. We have been conducting that since the new government, after the withdrawal of forces, took charge in Afghanistan. We have been pointing out the exact locations from which those terrorist attacks in Pakistan were being conducted. We are the now officially authentic largest victim country of terrorism anywhere in the world, with the average of almost 3 incidents per day. So we could not have taken it beyond a point. And since they, despite repeated reminders, sharing of coordinates, did not take action and said that perhaps it is not within their means, their capacity, or their control, we had to take action. We could not sit back and wait for the next terrorist attack. And in this case, it is way, way too different, because dialogue, diplomacy has been afforded more than 4 years. And now we are only targeting those areas for which coordinates were repeatedly shared. And there is mounting evidence that not only that this terrorism is taking place, it is state-sponsored terrorism from our neighborhood. India is sponsoring terrorism. We have clear fingerprints in our
The president touts his efforts between India and Pakistan. Obviously, there's a lot of hope up on Capitol Hill and here that the U.S. and Iran see some diplomatic solution through your country. So, Mr. Ambassador, thank you for the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Follow it.
Good to see you again.
You too.
House the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees. It's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash? Fast. At Liz Buys Houses, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. We understand that facing difficult situations like lifestyle changes requires support. So whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. With Liz Buys Houses, you close on your schedule in as little as 7 days. Selling your house can feel overwhelming, but we're here to simplify the process and to give you peace of mind at every stage. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Liz Buys Houses. Real cash, real fast. For your free, no-obligation cash offer, text CASH to 303030. Again, text CASH to 303030. Text CASH to 303030.
Furnished by Sell My House Fast. Liz Buys Houses does not guarantee transaction results. See LizBuysHouses.net for terms. Text and data rate.
Hey, Chili, why are you so excited?
Yeah, our biggest deal of the year is rocking.
Kelvin, you don't seem as excited. What's up?
I guess all good things have to come to an end. And that cost ends April 30th. So that's kind of tough.
It's okay, Kelvin. We can always help people.
Well, yes, but it's just this at cost program is one good deal. And I love helping people get more out of their money, like the old days.
Kelvin, did they even have AC when you were my age? Sorry about that.
Anyway... Here's to hoping we can help as many people as possible before April 30th.
At cost pricing, only from Redding Heating and Air. This month only through April 30th. Visit reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service. Modern-day solutions.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.